produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George. Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Hello, welcome, Maggie Moon.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. So, Maggie Moon, you have been writing recipe books and healing nutrition for Alzheimer's, dementia. Tell me a little bit about your work.
Yes, so I have been a writer for over 10 years, and my new book I'm really excited about is on the Mind Diet, which is a simple lifestyle, natural food-based diet that optimizes brain health, reduces the risk of Alzheimer's disease, makes the brain cognitively younger. And what I'm most excited about is that it's based on whole, natural foods. And so no matter what, this is going to be a healthy diet for anybody at any age.
How does it combine the two diets together, the Mediterranean and the DASH diet? And can you explain Mediterranean and the DASH diet first?
Yes, sure, absolutely. So the MIND diet is actually an acronym. The M is for MIND / DASH, the dietary approaches to stop hypertension, the intervention for neurodegenerative delay. So it's obviously much easier to say the MIND diet, but that's what it stands for. And so it does combine these two very well-proven heart-healthy diets, the Mediterranean and the DASH diet. Both were designed for heart health and mind, and both diets actually show promise for brain health at the highest levels of compliance. And so the MIND diet, what it really does is it combines elements of the DASH and Mediterranean diet and optimizes them for the nutrients and the foods most linked in the research to brain health. And so what they have in common is that all three diets are based on a variety and healthy balance of whole foods and mostly plant foods. The MIND diet is actually simpler than either the DASH or the Mediterranean diet. Like, I don't mean to knock them. They're all great diets. This one just does happen to be simpler. And the results are seen for brain health. They're seen with both moderate and excellent compliance, which means that you can kind of follow this diet halfway and you will still see some benefits. Of course, the best benefits are going to be when you follow the diet as strongly as possible. It contains less fruit than either of the DASH or Mediterranean diets. It specifically calls out berries, but not necessarily
so low glycemic.
Yes, exactly. And also, there's less dairy than the DASH diet, less fish than the Mediterranean diet. And for these reasons, it's a little easier for people to follow just because the restrictions and the requirements are not as stringent.
Is there any food groups that are totally left out?
So actually, that's interesting because there are five brain-harming food groups, but even those, there is room for moderation, and in my book, I explain how to find the healthiest versions of those foods. So for example, red meat. It's recommended that you get red meat less than 4 times per week. Obviously, limiting these foods as much as possible is great, but if you love red meat, this diet doesn't restrict it altogether. But less than 4 times a week, butter, less than a tablespoon a day, pastries and sweets, and added sugars, less than 5 times per week, which means, you know, maybe you can have a dessert on your weekend dinner. And then fried food, fast food, and cheese, it really recommends less than once a week. And that means, you know, maybe once every couple weeks, which means a special occasion, you know, a couple times a month.
Okay. So our brain is a big fatty phospholipid. It sounds like you're taking out a whole lot of fats. What kind of fats would be good for the brain?
That's an excellent question. And a lot of the science is based around keeping the fats in the right balance, which basically means more unsaturated fats and less of the saturated fats. All the foods that we're eliminating are contributing solid saturated fats to the diet, and the problem with saturated fats in terms of brain health is that it disrupts the blood-brain barrier and can make it easier to form these plaques called beta-amyloid plaques, which are linked to Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm. And what can cross that blood-brain barrier? Are there lots of foods, lots of herbs, fats that do cross over into it?
So there are antioxidants and there are vitamins that can cross over. And the idea is to keep that blood-brain barrier healthy. And the brain is mostly fat. And so the fats that are going to be better for you are the monounsaturated and the polyunsaturated fats.
Could you give me an example of those?
Those mostly come from wholesome foods.
Okay. Could you give me some examples of that just for those listening?
Yes, absolutely. So some of the best sources of monounsaturated fats are olive oil, avocados, pistachios. Basically, these foods are healthy fats and super delicious, which makes it really easy to recommend eating this way. Polyunsaturated fats, which includes in that category omega-3s, so those can be found in nuts like walnuts on the plant side, and then also in fatty fish like salmon, anchovies, mackerel.
Mm-hmm. Is it safe to eat that much fish?
Yes, it is. So it's interesting you ask that because I think you're referring to some concerns around mercury.
Yeah.
And yes, exactly. And so a study that was out just earlier in 2016, it was done by the same researchers that put together the MIND diet research. And what they did was they looked at people who ate fish more frequently than not. And what they found was that in the brain, there was more mercury than in non-fish eaters, which is what you would expect. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there was no link to an increased risk of Alzheimer's or cognitive decline. And so the overall benefits of eating fish outweigh the mercury and doesn't seem to affect brain health. And so it's better to choose fish rather than not. And then I will say that there are some fatty fish that are very low mercury, very low contaminant.
What's our best choice for fish? Like if we're going to the grocery store, what's our best choices?
Your best choices are salmon, and I think anchovies are another great choice. People don't often like to eat anchovies alone, but they actually work great blended into sauces. You can hardly tell that they're there, but they add this great base note, this earthy note to dishes. And the thing about small fish like that is that because mercury bioaccumulates over the lifetime of the fish, if you get a shorter living fish like that, you're going to minimize any mercury. So salmon and anchovies, for example, don't have any mercury or PCBs and contaminants in them at all. Versus a longer living fish, like a tuna, is going to have all those years of life to accumulate those contaminants.
Okay. So we're talking about cognitive decline and dementia, Alzheimer's, and Maggie's built the MIND diet to better our brain function. Can you tell me what cognitive decline is? How do we see it? How do we recognize it in our elders, ourselves?
Yes, absolutely. So cognitive decline is a normal part of the aging process. It could be occasional lapses in memory, slower response time. So, for example, you know, being at a stoplight and the light turns green and you're just a little slower to act on that. But it doesn't interfere with the day-to-day daily living. What it comes from is a gradual wear and tear to the brain and a loss of gray matter. And the gray matter in the brain is where all the processing goes down. And it does start to go down starting at age 20. And so this is a natural part of aging, but it doesn't have to interfere with daily life.
Okay. So can we stop that decline? And what are ways that we can increase our gray matter and keep it functioning properly?
One of the best ways is to stay hydrated and keep the brain nice and hydrated with plenty of water. And then by following the MIND diet, what they found with several decades worth of data, they found that the more closely you follow the MIND diet, the younger your brain was cognitively, and the people who followed the diet the most kept their brains about 7.5 years younger. And so they had the same brain function as someone who was about 7 to 8 years younger than them. And I will say that even amongst the people, because these are free-living people, which is great because it applies to real life so much more than, you know, a clinical trial. But I will say that even those at the top end, people who followed the diet the most, they were still scoring like maybe a 12 out of 15. So I say that to say that, following this diet, even a little bit is going to help. And it's not so difficult to reach that top level.
Right. Could you tell me the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's? Is there a clear definition between the two?
Yes, there is. So dementia is D, which means without, and mentia, which is mind, and it literally means without mind. And dementia is sort of an umbrella term, and Alzheimer's fits under that umbrella. So dementia itself is not a disease, but it's a set of symptoms, which can be problems with memory, thinking, language, social skills, uncharacteristic behavior changes. And this is when symptoms do start to get in the way of everyday life. They may disrupt work. It may prevent you from being able to get dressed or make meals or even use the restroom properly. And so that's what dementia is. It's more of a syndrome. It's a set of symptoms. And Alzheimer's is a kind of dementia. And it's the most common cause of dementia, where 60 to 80% of all cases of dementia are due to Alzheimer's disease. It affects 1 in 9 older adults, 5 million Americans today. And what's concerning but both hopeful to me is that that's expected to double by 2050. But what's hopeful to me is that there's time before that to reverse some of these trends. So if we go at the rate that we're going now, someone in 2050, could be developing Alzheimer's disease every 33 seconds, which is not a future that I hope for, my own parents and my own self as we age. And so I think that making some of these lifestyle changes and diet changes now can really turn this trend around.
This is really epidemic, the brain functioning. Is there any way we can get your diet into the seniors' wards, the geriatrics? How can you see your work expanding into those areas?
Well, I think that what's great is that it's an overall healthy diet, so there are elements that are already being so commonly recommended, whole grains, leafy greens, fish. I think a lot of these recommendations are being made. But for the MIND diet specifically, two major papers came out in 2015 that explained these results that had been decades in the making. And it immediately caught the attention of U.S. News and World Report. They ranked diets every January. And so in January 2016, the MIND diet was reviewed, and it was evaluated as the number 2 overall best diet. And so I think things like that bring attention to how beneficial it is and how healthy it is for everybody. This is the way that people will gain more access to it, more exposure to it. I'm hoping through my work that this will be more widely available, more widely known about. I have just launched a website at minddietmeals.com where I am developing recipes, where I'm helping with lifestyle tips and help with menu planning tips, bringing the MIND diet to life, and that will be an always-living online resource to people. I'm in culinary school now, and so I'm developing a lot of recipes that really fit this healthy and delicious simple-to-make ideal.
What wonderful work you're doing, Maggie Moon. We're talking to Maggie. She's the author of The MIND Diet, and we're just going to have to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back, Maggie.